The Starting Block with Taimoor Nabili, where business meets blockchain on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to another episode of The Starting Block, a series of interviews about the rapidly evolving world of blockchain and matters related. On today's episode, we're going to consider one of the biggest challenges facing the blockchain and crypto business, and that is the question of how do we trade and exchange these new digital toys? Because whatever part of this ecosystem you choose to get involved with, at some point, you're going to have to connect your existing bank account or your existing source of funds with the new blockchain-based universe. And that's not as easy as it may sound. In fact, in many countries, even trying to do that is just plain illegal. Here in Singapore, the regulatory authorities have been approaching the issue with a mixture of caution and pragmatism. And a couple of months ago came the news that the Singapore Exchange has entered into an arrangement with CapBridge and Consensus to build a private exchange in Singapore. And I have with me the director of Asia-Pacific Operations for Consensus, Vinay Mohan. Vinay, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Taimoor. Lovely opportunity to be here. Thank you.
The situation of changing your money into a way that you can engage with the blockchain universe, as I say, is a strange one. I mean, in the early days of Bitcoin, you could only go into a cafe with your laptop and meet the other person and exchange your cash for his or her digital asset through the laptop. In much the same way as now, you can still go into a little money-changing booth in town and change currencies. But that's not a system that will drive a global industry. So just frame for us, if you would, what are the issues surrounding the exchange of my Singapore dollars for Bitcoin or Ether or anything like that? And what are the things that we should be thinking about?
I suppose at the very top, you have this issue of this whole technology paradigm being so new that we still haven't figured out the rails for people to participate. So people like you and I being able to participate in the mainstream marketplace. And for that matter, there isn't a mainstream marketplace because this is a fairly new concept of decentralized behavior where you haven't got a state-sponsored authority trying to say, here's a wonderful new idea, let's all come in, let's build it and you'll all come. These are ideas mushrooming across the world where lots of people see a very real opportunity in terms of being able to make crypto and fiat exchangeable, being able to make tokens exchangeable with each other, and ultimately giving people on the street the opportunity to participate.
Is that opportunity going to look like what we have already? I mean, what we've got right now is an architecture of exchange based upon some now well-understood precepts. You have a central authority or institution that acts as a trusted intermediary. You have pools of money. You have accountability. You have traceability. You have regulation, all these things. Is a Bitcoin or Ethereum or general crypto and token architecture necessarily going to follow that model? Because most of them do now. You mentioned decentralized exchanges, but most of them are still centralized, aren't they?
That's true. So one of the rare opportunities we've been afforded right now with blockchain is that blockchain is an enabler of decentralization. And if you think about the larger scheme of things, where we've moved from a platform economy to a sharing economy to now a peer-to-peer economy, peer-to-peer immediately suggests that you don't possibly need or you cannot afford to have middlemen, and hence the concept of centralization. So to make decentralization possible, we now have this beautiful new technology called blockchain, which, by the way, also lends itself really well to native on-chain currencies like Bitcoin, like Ethereum. And the transfer of these currencies is increasingly becoming popular in a world where we see value, at least those of us on the inside of the community see value in propagating the idea of decentralized exchanges. So to your question about whether the old standard still applies, from a commercial standpoint, in terms of the way the exchanges are crafted, in terms of the way market makers build the spreads and the way you allow accredited investors to come in and go out, many of those principles still hold good. But the central tenet, which is to say that the house controls the game, right, or the house makes the rules, is about to change. So one of the most significant things that we've seen now is with DEXs or decentralized exchanges, nobody, no one individual entity holds funds at any point in time. My private keys and my funds are within my control, as opposed to the old world where the house could shut down at any time. It could change the rules if it wanted to. And pretty much most of this rolled up to sovereign status. So the only way that you would have a house delivering on its commitment was because the government of the country stood by it.
And the idea here being, of course, you get rid of the intermediary, as is the basis of so many blockchain ideas.
Absolutely.
Get rid of the intermediary, the exchange, and get rid of a lot of the risk, because some of the biggest risks that we've had to exchanging money and getting involved is the fact that it's the exchange that's the vulnerable point. Mt. Gox obviously being the kind of the biggest name one. So the decentralized approach is designed to actually increase security.
That's right. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we have these examples right now that sort of keep coming up, but nothing new in my view. This is a new technology. If we were looking at blockchain in terms of internet age, we're probably in year 1994 right now. So this was very, very nascent. To expect that exchanges ultimately, you know, being somewhat central in their own identity, being completely bulletproof, is a little too much at this early stage. So I think what we should focus on in the larger scheme of things is the general principle behind why this is relevant, why you and I can benefit from lower prices, better transparency, better access to liquid pools across the world. And we should hope that in time that exchanges, decentralized and otherwise, will find a way to strengthen their protocols, to you know, harden their walls around them and make these hacks few and far between.
I'm talking to Vinay Mohan of Consensys here in Singapore, and we're talking about the problems and the opportunities of exchanging your dollars into cryptocurrencies and blockchain-based tokens. And Vinay, you at Consensys have partnered with CapBridge, which is an app developer, and the Singapore Exchange to begin to provide a new service in how some of this interaction occurs. So tell me what that service involves and what were the considerations at play as you structured this new idea?
So this began sometime about a year ago at the Singapore FinTech Festival 2017. We met this amazing company called CapBridge. They're a Singapore-based private equity platform with an existing book, with an existing portfolio. They've been in the business for some time now. And CapBridge came to us, and you know, we worked out this amazing way of applying blockchain to the world of private equity. So think about the CapBridge Exchange, which is a project that has strategic stakeholding with by SGX. Think of this as a way of using securities in a tokenized form that are publicly tradable across the world. And these securities represent equity investments in Singapore-based companies. So CapBridge has a primary pool of private equity. These are companies within Singapore, across Singapore, maybe perhaps the region as we grow, that have raised money through the platform. But then that's one kind of asset class. Now, if we were to take all of the equity in that pool and find a way to convert them into tokenized securities, and by tokenized, I mean on the blockchain, and by using the same principles of the blockchain, decentralized, immutable ledger, so on and so forth, make them tradable across a public network. In this case, it is the public Ethereum network which is at play, which is a very important point in terms of, you know, showcasing how advanced Singapore is for us. Putting something on the public Ethereum network is a amazing leap of faith, and I think a testament to the growing innovation culture here. Essentially, what this does is it makes it possible for investors the world over in regulated markets as private accredited investors to participate in one kind of asset class in Singapore.
All right.
And invest in Singapore companies.
There is a whole lot there that you've just said that needs unpacking. The complexity of all of this is in many ways mind-boggling. Let's take a break and come back in part two and talk about some of the ways we can look at this that makes sense and is simpler to understand for the average listener. This is The Starting Block on Money FM 89.3 with Vinay Mohan of Consensys. Join us for part two of this conversation tomorrow, when we'll consider the point where blockchain meets investing, but without the scary crypto stuff.